views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Bob Dio. It's the midweek edition on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Midweek edition, Wednesday, April the 3rd, 2019. Hope the week is off to a good start for you so far. You're listening to 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course, kvoi.com. Have all of our podcasts available for you 24/7 at buckmastershow.com, along with the bios of at least 24 regular contributors to this program. Our live line number, 790-2040. If you would like to join in the conversation at any time during the hour, please feel free to give us a call. But right now, let's go on the live line to Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek, who we try to get on this program at least once a month. Steve, how are you?
Doing well. I always appreciate being on the show, Bill.
Thank you very much. Were you out doing your running today?
Got about a dozen miles in early on before sunrise.
As you've aged, have you cut back on... As you've aged, have you cut back on the number of miles you're doing around the community?
So I used to run what are called ultra marathons. They are anywhere from 50 to 100 miles or 24-hour runs. And that requires a lot more time than I'm willing to put in at this point or have to put in. And so I used to run 15 to 20 miles a day, and I'm down to about 10 or 11, 12, 13 now.
Okay, still very good exercise for you. Kudos right off the bat to this developer, Ross Rolney, right?
Rolney, yeah,
who will be taking over and the redo of the former Benedictine Monastery over there on Country Club. But in the meantime, this has become home to migrants who are in transition, Steve Kasachek. And I'm wondering what happens now to these folks when the development really starts getting fired up here?
Well, that's a great question, and it's a conversation that I've already started with several potential other players. When the agreement was first put into place between Ross and Catholic Community Services, we sat down and looked at the time frame, and it appeared at the time that the end of May would be a likely time when the transition would have to take place. That really is not going to be necessary at this point. We are going to have a rezoning meeting, a public meeting, that at the monastery at 6 o'clock on April 17th. That's a Wednesday. Everyone's invited. And at the time, the design team, Poster Frost Murto and Ross, will be there presenting their concepts to the public. They've been meeting with a group of neighbors as well as their design consultants for several months now. And so on the 17th will be the, kind of the first unveiling of the direction that this design is headed. The next, I'm just thinking out loud, the approximately 30 days after that, we should have a public hearing in front of the zoning examiner, then another month after that in front of the mayor and council. So you're talking about May, June, the middle of June to the end of June before we really probably have, into the summer, probably have a realistic zoning approval for the property. So we have bought ourselves, not by any particular intentional act, but just the time that it takes to go through a rezoning, probably until early fall before we have to really start vacating. There are other events that are happening in there, but today this conversation is an absolutely timely opportunity to just kind of describe what's happening within the monastery. We had an event scheduled in there tonight. I did. It was a neighborhood meeting talking about the 3rd Street Bike Boulevard and traffic mitigation, that kind of stuff. And we were going to use the chapel. We were advised this morning by ICE that they plan on dropping off 200 or 300 people at 5:30 tonight, or at, wow. at or after 5:30 tonight. Hmm. So we're canceling and moving the meeting over to my office. And the point being that your question is an excellent question as to what happens when we started this relationship with Ross. We were looking at 30, 40 people at a time, and it is not uncommon for there to be between 200 and 300 people in there at a given time now, with cots in the chapel, cots upstairs and downstairs and all over. And not just cots, by the way. So this isn't just kind of a flop house. We have hundreds of volunteers who, by the way, on the 14th, we are going to hold a thank you for the volunteers over there. Ross is helping to fund that. My chief of staff, Ann Charles, is helping to fund it. We'll have Dave Fitzsimmons, me and Ross over there, just kind of greeting the people and flipping some burgers. But the volunteers are doing things such as helping make connections with next of kin or foster, helping to translate bus tickets from English into either Spanish or an indigenous language, because many of the adults don't speak Spanish. So the translation happens from a volunteer in Spanish to a kid, and from the kid to the parent in the indigenous language, mom or something like that. We have physicians and nurses over there doing medical triage. There are, of course, people cooking food, people separating clothing and distributing clothing. So it is an amazing operation that is not going to be easy to simply pick up from one location and plop down in a new one. I've begun conversations with some other local entities, and it's a fluid exchange. No decisions have been made, but we all know that we can't wait until the middle of summer to start trying to figure it out, because the numbers aren't getting any smaller. And you see on the news every night this mess that's happening at and around the border, and the talks of shutting it down and talks of not shutting it down is causing a panic. And that's the reason, one of the reasons that ICE is dropping off dozens and dozens of people at a time now, as opposed to just a trickle at a time, where it's more manageable for a group of volunteers, which is really who's operating this this monastery operation.
Steve Kasachek with us, Tucson City Councilman on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. What's this I hear about a big yard sale that's going to be going on at the monastery? I believe it's the weekend of the 26th and 27th. What's that all about?
Yeah, so really, really interesting. This is another example of an event that's going to be happening over there. There's a group of 13 Midtown neighborhoods who have formed an organization. It's a nonprofit called Lend a Hand Senior Assistance. And it's all this is volunteer-driven. And these 13 neighborhoods annually hold a couple of different, in quotes, yard sales. And all the proceeds go to direct assistance to keeping seniors in their homes, so aging-in-place assistance for seniors. The yard sale is going to be 2 days, 26th and 27th. That's Friday and Saturday, the end of this month, in the chapel. And they're gathering up donations right now of all sorts of things. And I will tell you that I'm going through my mom's house, donated several things to the yard sale as well, because it's such an amazingly important cause for this community. I was just in a meeting last night with Pima Council on Aging and AARP, talking about an initiative that the city's joined at the hip with those organizations called Making Us and the Elder Alliance, called Us an Age-Friendly City. There is such a need in this community and such a desire, quite frankly, by elderly people who simply want to stay at home and just need that extra little touch, whether it's help with food or help with transportation or, you know, getting their medicine to them or whatever it might be, or just social engagement. So Lend a Hand Senior Assistance is going to hold their yard sale, two-day yard sale, Friday, Saturday, the 26th and 27th. They'll run from about 7 in the morning till 1 in the afternoon both days and then clear it out. But, yeah, it's such an important need in this community. And to see people be able to stay in their homes, it keeps their spirits up. And for all the right reasons, this group is formed and is putting this on. So I'm totally supportive of it.
Couple of more moments here before we take our break and talk about Mona's Danish Bakery. But your mother was quite an artist, your late mother, and I think some of her work is on display at your consul office.
Yeah, so when I went through her stuff, I found 15 or 16 different paintings that we've had up in at the ward office, and I'm going to keep some of them around. There is another art show coming called Races. It's Mujeres, Mujeres, Mujeres. It's women, women, women. And so that's going to be an art gallery down in the Warehouse Arts District here coming up in April, and we'll talk more about that. But yeah, so it's been kind of an emotional elevator going through this stuff, and but being able to find public and productive uses for this stuff, I think, is really important instead of just holding some sort of an estate sale and, you know, selling to the highest bidder.
I agree. Steve Kasachek with us. Steve, stick around. I don't know, Councilman, if you saw the article about Mona's Danish Bakery in USA Today last week. Great publicity. One of 10 Tucson spots for surprisingly international cuisine. What a nice boost to owner Steve and the team up at Mona's, especially as they get ready now to serve a hot breakfast. They're in the final permitting stage with all the proper permits from Pima County. And as Steve Kasachek can well imagine, being an elected official, there's a lot of red tape that goes with these kinds of changes. You know that, don't you, Steve?
Yeah, but you know, in a position like they're in, they could wind up down at the Board of Supervisors study session with a plate full of pastries and probably grease that wheel a little bit.
If Steve showed up with a couple of giant Danish Kringles, those rich coffee cakes, I think that could expedite the process.
Yeah, that'd be a 5-0 vote.
Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. They're open right now for lunch and soon to come the hot breakfast. They got the grill. It's all ready to go. They'll be opening at 6:30 in the morning for the hot breakfast. But all of that's coming. Mona'sDanishBakery.com and at BuckmasterShow.com, a link to all of the great partners who support our program. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
There's still time this year for you to donate your 2018 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar credit towards your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 40 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes that you wish to support. It's easy to donate online and feel good at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 Ocean and Beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, tours daily, biosphere2.org. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasachek is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. I keep reading these stories about these whales that are washing up, this latest one happening in the Mediterranean, Steve Kasachek. What was it? 50 plus pounds of plastic in this poor animal's stomach. It was a pregnant whale, and it's just the amount of plastic and garbage on our waterways. It's horrible. Now I'm hearing all this stuff about the city and the recycling program. What's the bottom line to this?
Yeah, well, the bottom line is sadly that the recycling program is losing about $3.3 million a year in operations, and there are several different reasons for this. And I was talking to Tim Steller from the Star last week before he wrote one of his most recent pieces on the recycling thing. And the two principal causes of the recycling problem that we have right now are things that the residents of this community have a direct impact on. Number one is we just simply create too much waste in our lifestyles. I mean, the single-use bags, the single-use, and I'm as guilty as anybody. Mm-hmm. I'm not casting. I go home and I, throw something in the microwave and throw all the stuff away that it came in and good to go. And right. How convenient was that, But it's not convenient at the back end of the cycle of the chain. So just simply the amount of waste we create. And secondly, when the city pick up those recycle bins, the contamination rate within those bins is like 28% right now. And when China a couple of years ago lowered the rate that they will receive contaminated waste in is 0.5%.
Wow!
So we're not even in the same stratosphere as to what they're requiring. So contamination and simply the quantity of waste that we create as a society are two huge factors. We are going to be looking at this April 23rd, I believe, is when the study session is. And we're going to be looking at a few different options. We are not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater, though. We are simply not going to say we're going to drop kick the program. Other jurisdictions have done that. Hmm. Other jurisdictions all over the country are saying we simply can't afford a recycling program anymore because there's no market. So, but I know Tucson, and I support this. Embrace the program generally. And so, a few of the things that we'll be considering: one is a rate increase, to help cover some of the loss. That'll be on the table for discussion, or a phased-in rate increase or partial rate increase. In addition to that, we can save about $500,000 a year if we stop taking glass. There is no market for glass. It's awfully heavy. And so a lot of that winds up in the landfill anyway. People feel good when they throw glass in the recycle bin. They think that they're helping out, but a lot of it doesn't wind up being recycled anyway. We can save about $800,000 if we stop taking paper, but I think there's going to be a huge pushback on that because that's a pretty easy one for people to recycle. And we can perhaps set that aside and wait to see what happens to the market. And that's sort of one of my defaults is that this is a market situation right now that can change. Recently, we was talking to our former Environmental Services Director Andy Quigley, and he pointed out to me that this happened several years ago, and within a short period of time, Thailand came on board as a recipient, and the market changed, and we wound up having more options. And so those are a few different things that we'll be considering. I did mention the rate increase. This cannot be simply all a residential rate increase so that the commercial sector is being subsidized by residential. There is that as well. We also have to look internally at the department, the Environmental Services Department. There are about a third of our customers, if they went to simply alley pickup instead of rolling the barrels out to the street side, it would make the routes more efficient, and residents could share barrels, as happens in lots of alleys already. So that's a possibility. And simply building route efficiencies and forcing the city management to go and look at how we're actually routing these vehicles. There is also talk about going to biweekly instead of weekly service delivery. So lots of different things on the table, a lot of moving pieces to it. A lot of these are going to be internal decisions that we make in terms of rates and what commodities we pick up. But if people want to be a part of the solution, really, really look at the contamination that's going into the bins, and just really look at the quantities. And if there are ways that we can change from a lifestyle perspective, so we're not simply filling these bins up every week, then we're all a part of the solution, and we all have a stake in it as well. I mean, it's not for nothing that it takes to go and cover a landfill and build a new one. So we all have a stake in this conversation.
All right, we're going to have to wrap it up in about a minute or two with Steve Kasacek, but I want to ask him about a new parking garage at the TCC, the Tucson Convention Center. 350 parking spaces coming online. Is this all part of the redo of the TCC?
It's part of the Caliber Hotel construction project.
Okay.
And it's also a larger conversation that we're having with surrounding neighborhoods, Barrio Viejo in particular, so that to the extent that when the TCC holds events, and now we have the Roadrunners and the Sugar Skulls and all the different civic events that happen down there, but some of the surrounding neighborhoods have a lot of spillover parking. If you've been to Barrio Viejo, you'd recognize that they have some very narrow streets, and most of it's on-street parking for the residents anyway. So this new parking garage will not only help to support the hotel, it'll help to support events within the convention center, and it'll help to affect some of the spillover parking for the events that we host in the TCC, so the neighbors aren't can actually park in front of their own homes. But if we got 30 seconds while we are talking about events, kudos to Adia Barnes and the women's basketball team, who is hosting the equivalent of the WNIT Final Four tonight in McHale against TCU. We've already sold almost 8,000 tickets, and that's really great for her.
Isn't this wonderful exposure for the women?
It really is. And you know what? The nature of the fans who are coming to these games are fans who are staying for the whole game. They're standing, they're cheering, they're not looking for that last time out of the second half to sneak out to get to their car. So they're really into it. And it's a new experience for many of them to be exposed to the sport. And it's just great for Adia. She's just a wonderful person. I'm just really happy for her and the program and the kids.
And if the team wins, and we hope they do tonight, the final is this weekend. Is that correct?
Saturday, yeah. Saturday, the opponent and time to be determined. And we have a, you know, if we sell 8,000 or 9,000 tickets tonight, this is all based on, on attendance. And so if we do that tonight, we have a pretty good chance of hosting Saturday.
Boy, and if what I'll have a tough decision if my Northwestern Wildcats, who are in the other semifinal, if they win and it's the Wildcat women against Wildcat women. That ought to be interesting.
You'll have to be in the seat.
There you go. Thank you so much, Steve Kasachek. Have a great afternoon. I appreciate you being on the program.
You too. Thanks, Bill. I always appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks a lot. The support for Buckmaster, our great sponsors include Green Things, 3384 East River Road, by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It is a beautiful 13-acre site. You not only have all the great plants there for your nursery and for your backyard, but what about what they've done with Zocalo? Five freestanding buildings now on Green Things devoted to the great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Come tour the five shops at Zocalo Village. It's all part of the Green Things family. Where are you going this summer? Are you dreaming about summer vacation like I am, counting the days till the annual Buckmaster May trip coming up? I know someone who also likes to count days before getting away. It's Ryan Hansen. Time to talk travel is next on Buckmaster.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For the first time ever, explore the Biosphere 2 ocean and beach and see up close how we're using the world's largest indoor living ocean for research on the future of coral reefs and rising ocean temperatures. During this privately guided tour, you'll learn why our world's oceans are so important, why they're being impacted, and how the Biosphere 2 Research Center is addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2 tours daily, biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Moa Mosgallery and Fine Framing. And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
Welcome back. Buckmaster on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Time for our insider travel talk on Buckmaster with the Buckmaster travel contributor, Ryan Hansen, President and Chief Operating Officer of Bon Voyage Travel, serving travelers for more than 40 years. 75 Bon Voyage travel experts. They're standing by right now to create your trip of a lifetime and make those travel dreams come true. There are three Southern Arizona Bon Voyage offices, River and Campbell, Green Valley and Oro Valley, bvtravel.com. Great starting place for making your travel dreams come true. Rhino, good to see you. Ryan Hansen with us.
Great to see you,
I'm
Bill.
Dreaming, man. I'm dreaming of travel here. I've got a trip coming up. As you know, we take three trips kind of a year, and the May is kind of our big signature trip. Going to be doing some island hopping in the Caribbean. You'll be on this side of the desk.
I will.
In May, doing a travel hour show. I'll be calling in from one of the iconic resorts in the Caribbean, the Buccaneer on the island of St. Croix. It's going to be fun to see how they have recovered from the hurricane of about a year and a half ago.
I love having you as our on-site correspondent.
There
I know you,
go. You
love that as well. Yeah. You and your wife will be enjoying the Caribbean, and we'll be able to explore a little bit a different way to see mm-hmm. the Caribbean. We mm-hmm. enjoy doing that at Bon Voyage, not just taking you to a new place. Taking you back to an old haunt and doing it in a new way is another form of travel that we love participating in planning.
And we'll be on St. Martin as well, see how they have recovered. They're building really a brand new airport on top of an existing, one of the busiest mm-hmm. airports in the Caribbean. While you're, they've got an airport within an airport that's going on right now, and I'll have a report about that as well. Right now, I want to talk about some of the summer places that folks may not have on the radar screen. I think Hawaii was on a lot of people's radar screen years ago, but it's had a big resurgence.
It absolutely has. You know, it was a place where, especially on the West Coast, right. everybody was the retreat. It was
sure.
our Caribbean here
yep.
on the West Coast. And then I don't want to say it fell out of favor, but it maybe it wasn't as hot, and they started the travelers started to look elsewhere, maybe a little bit more adventurous in going to Europe a little mm-hmm. further away. But Hawaii is definitely back. And one of the misperceptions in the travel industry is that Hawaii is easy, and there are options, mm-hmm. and that's something in our industry and in every industry that consumers have choices. And what one of the things we like to revisit every time we're on with you is the opportunities that Bon Voyage can aid. We can come alongside as a consultant, as an advisor, to help you make the right decision. And the internet is a great thing because there's more information out there. Hawaii feels accessible, feels easy, feels like, oh, I've been there, I know mm-hmm. what to do, but sometimes mm-hmm. you don't know the questions to ask.
Right.
And that's where our advisors can come in to help you understand which island to go to, because mm-hmm. they all have unique mm-hmm. identities, even in Hawaii. Yes, the theme of Hawaii is the same, but Oahu is much different than the other
island. Kauai. Yeah, Kauai, the Garden Island, they're all different. We've been to all of them with the exception all of them being, of course, the ones that there are some islands that
you can't inhabit.
You can't, yes. But there is one that we have not been to, but we're going to rectify that in our late August trip. We'll be going over to Lanai.
Very nice.
And they have a beautiful Four Seasons there, mm-hmm. but there's another property. The Hotel Lanai was built in the 1920s. It's been completely refurbished. It was built, there's a lot of history there, for the Dole pineapple workers.
Oh, I love that.
They did a complete restoration. It is is a beautiful hotel. I'm looking forward to going back. So I guess I kind of fit into this resurgence of Hawaii because I want to go to an island I've not been to.
That's there. Right. And so strolling on Waikiki Beach to you doesn't have the allure as
we're
it
still
did at one
do
point,
a couple,
but you still
we're
do
still
some
gonna
of those
do a couple a day a nights over at Waikiki,
nice.
And then go down over to Lanai. So there is this, and folks that like to do cruising, there's these great opportunities now for the Hawaiian Islands.
That's right. You can cruise. Norwegian is probably your best bet from a value standpoint
right.
here on the West Coast. The Pride of America is a ship that's been going there for quite some time. There's been refurbishments in that fleet as well. So Norwegian is a great West Coast option for you. Pride of America in Hawaii, and you can cruise the Hawaiian Islands. But as we're on cruising from a Norwegian standpoint, they have two beautiful brand new ships in Alaska that are a fantastic option for the family market. That's the Norwegian Bliss that came out just last year
right.
and the Norwegian Joy. These are large ships that have multiple venues, 21 restaurant options.
Oh my goodness.
The ship is somewhat of a destination. In
right.
fact, the Bliss has a bumper car. It's actually a race car track on top of the top deck.
Oh my goodness.
So from a family perspective, it has all of the things you're looking for to keep the family entertained and build memories and bonds in Alaska, which is a great destination. So it combines on-ship entertainment with off-ship wildlife and beautiful expanses there in Alaska that you can see. So if you're interested in looking at this stage, you still have some opportunity.
Right.
Alaska, those two ships in particular, the Joy and the Bliss, our recent experiences in talking to Norwegian, there is some availability still in April. Normally people would say, oh, wow, what are you talking
right.
about? April,
right.
I'm just starting to plan.
Right.
Planning for travel has to be further and further out, but those are some great options still available.
Tucsonans love Alaska, and Alaska season is coming up very soon, really. The May,
that's right.
May cruising.
Really
is
kicks
sailing.
Off in May.
Does
the
it,
shoulder
yeah.
season, as we would say, it would be the month of May and the months of September. So
right.
May and September are kind of the shoulders, which have some great wildlife opportunities in there. It's not just a
right.
shoulder for bad things. It's a little cooler than what some people would want, but the Tucsonans love to get out of the
they
heat.
Do, they do.
There's a reason for
so,
it.
So if someone would like to call about an Alaska cruise, there are availability right now. You could call Bon Voyage, talk
sure
to one
can.
Of your consultants.
Yeah, we're
say,
available. And
hey,
we
decided we'd like to explore Alaska.
That's right. And there's yeah. experts that, A, have been there, and if they haven't, they've sent thousands of other clients to Alaska and know what to put you on, what you're looking for. And maybe that 21 restaurant ship sounds a little too big. There's other options in Alaska that there's some availability because the cruise lines really did kind of pull back in some other areas and put more inventory, more hardware
right.
from a business standpoint. Kind of like talking about
sure.
this because people might
sure.
want to know why is Alaska so important to the cruise lines? Well, they've put more ships there.
Uh-huh.
So there's some more options. And it doesn't mean 6,000 passengers either. There are some ships that are under 500 that can provide a great experience for you if that doesn't sound
and
good.
There is a price point for every buddy when
no
it comes
doubt.
To
You're
Alaska.
Talking $799
yeah.
all the way up to
yeah.
thousands of
yeah,
dollars where everything's included.
Now, further afield, I understand mm-hmm. you're going to be going to Africa.
I sure am.
Have you been on that wildlife safari before?
This is my first safari.
Oh, my goodness.
First
Once
time
you fall
to
in
Africa.
Love with Africa, there's something about a genetic memory. I talk to people all the time who've been there and say, it feels like home. And you are going to have where are you destined
to? We're headed into Kenya, so we'll have a week in Kenya and then another 3 to 4 nights in Tanzania. So
Ooh.
We're doing the East Africa, and I know South Africa is another
sure.
great option
yep.
for people, and that will probably be our second run. But I'm excited about the trip for multiple reasons.
Sure.
A, never been to Africa.
Right.
B, would just great experience for us to share the beauty, the wildlife, all the exciting things about a whole different culture with a lot of our travelers and our staff. And then I'm excited because when I come back and I host your show, I will be 3 days removed from Africa.
Oh my
goodness. So in fact,
and there'll
plan,
be an Africa segment right on the
There will be
the
a
show,
segment
sure.
on the show and
for
I'll
sure.
have an African specialist come on with me live to discuss in greater detail, more than even what I would be able to recap. So for listeners, tune in. I think I'm on the
14th? It's a Wednesday, I believe. Yeah,
yeah,
Wednesday we've got
that
you.
Week, so.
Well, I'll hang on the line so Bob Dio, our great engineer producer, can let me hear the rest of the show. But I could call also, of course, hear our show anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com.
That's right.
Quickly, Ryan Hansen, what else is on the radar screen for summer? We've got Hawaii, Alaska, and of course, if you want a big trip, you can take care of it, whether it's Africa Europe or
you
whatever.
You know, Italy is still the number one European destination in the summer for North Americans. So if you have not been to Europe, Italy's your choice. If you've been to Italy, you probably would say, I could go back.
Sure.
That's definitely one. But if overseas feels a little too far, you're planning that, you need to plan that out for 2020. Another area that's resurging is Mexico. Mexico is continuing to come back. So consider those all-inclusive resorts in the Yucatan Peninsula. It's not just Cabo or Cancun. There's some other vibrant areas that are safer for and are out of the fray, but have wonderful experiences than an all-inclusive nature where you don't feel nickeled and dimed for every drink you have that has an umbrella in it.
Yep.
You don't have to swipe your credit card.
Puerto Vallarta is coming back too. A lot of those all-inclusive. Hyatt has a really nice all-inclusive now on Puerto Vallarta, I understand. Anyway, I could talk travel for another hour with you, Ryan, but going to have to let you go. Of course, the starting place, I think, is the first step, bvtravel.com. First step in making those travel dreams come true. Ryan Hansen, safe travels to you. We'll be talking to you from the Caribbean in May. Thank you.
You bet. As we should say always, bon voyage.
There you go. We'll be right back on Buckmaster with Mitch Tobin, the environmental correspondent for the Buckmaster Show. He's on the live line from Denver. We'll talk to him about winter snowpack in the Rockies. It's been a good winter for snow, but you know, will it last as far as that runoff for the Colorado River? Lots of questions for Mitch right after this.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
There's still time this year for you to donate your 2018 charitable tax credit qualifying dollars to a local charity and claim a dollar-for-dollar credit towards your Arizona state taxes. The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 40 local charities, encourages you to direct a portion of your state tax dollars to work in our community for causes that you wish to support. It's easy to donate online and feel good at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on celebrity cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
It's 11 minutes now till 1 on Buckmaster. This portion presented by a great portion, part of the southwestern United States and the southwestern portion of the land of enchantment, New Mexico. Just a 3-hour drive over to a very pretty area, Silver City in Grant County. This time of year in the spring with the wildflowers and the high country, you can't beat it. The complete listing of great places to stay and several dozen recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, at Southwest New Mexico, just spell it out, .org. We send so many of our listeners over there. Everybody comes back and says the same thing. Had a great time. Buckmaster Show contributor on the environment is Mitch Tobin. Mitch, whose work focuses on water issues, journalism, philanthropy, and climate change, an award-winning journalist. Mitch is the former environmental reporter for the Napa Valley Register, the Tucson Citizen, and Arizona Daily Star. He's author of the book Endangered, which shows why so many species are at risk of extinction. Mitch is now the director of a brand new initiative. In fact, it's launching today at the University of Colorado in Boulder. It's a project called The Water Desk, which is dedicated to boosting coverage of Western water issues, which focus on the Colorado River Basin. Mitch joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line from his home base in Colorado. Mitch, congratulations on this new project.
Thank you so much, Bill. It's great to be with you, and I'm just absolutely thrilled to be working on this new project, The Water Desk.
Is it tied into their tied into the journalism school there at the University at UC Boulder?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're based at something called the Center for Environmental Journalism at CU Boulder, which has worked for many years both with professional journalists in the field to support them with fellowships and training, as well as undergraduate and graduate students. So that's our home base, and we're going to be supporting journalists out in the field with grants and other support. And we're also going to be producing some of our own content, and as well as working with students on the CU campus and engaging with the community. And the goal is to basically increase the volume, the depth, and the power of journalism that's connected to Western water issues, and we have a particular focus on the Colorado River.
Tell me a little bit about the snowpack. We've heard and seen the pictures about the avalanches up in Colorado. How did this year shape up as far as snow in the Rockies?
Here in Colorado, it was a fantastic year. You know, people are using words like epic, awesome. I've been here for more than a decade, and it's definitely been the best snow year as far as skiing. And it was also a really good year in the Sierra Nevada and California. And so here in Colorado right now, the snowpack is between 20 and 50% above average for this time of the year. They just did the survey in California, and the Sierra Nevada came in at 161% of normal. So it was a fantastic year. The water managers are definitely happy. In particular, it was a very good year for the snowpack in southwest Colorado, which until recently was the epicenter of a really nasty drought right around the Four Corners. And this, you know, bumper year for snowpack has really reduced the drought in that part of Colorado and the southwest. So definitely good news in terms of refilling the reservoirs and reducing the drought in many parts of the Intermountain West.
What's it mean, though, when for the fire season? We've had some reports here in Arizona that we've had good rain, but there's going to be a lot of what they call kind of an undergrowth in our forests. What have you heard about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's important to realize that the West has a very, very diverse set of ecosystems, and so they respond differently. In the very higher elevations, here in Colorado, they're now buried under many feet of snow. And so for the high country forests in places like California and the Sierra Nevada, a very thick snowpack is definitely good news because that'll keep a damper on the wildfires. On the other hand, when you get really wet conditions at lower elevations, it may be falling as rain rather than snow, and the snow will be not as deep, so it will melt quicker. And all of that moisture helps vegetation grow. And these are more of the finer, flashy type fuels like grasses rather than big trees. And so it's a little bit counterintuitive. People hear all of the coverage about all of the rain and the atmospheric rivers and the huge snowpack. In general, it's better for the wildfire danger because it's putting a lid on the high country fires. But, you know, it's also potentially increasing fires at lower elevations because in a place like Arizona, it won't take very long for those grasses and other fuels to dry out and to be very flammable. So, you know, we've heard from firefighters that they're grateful that there's a lot more snow in the high country because some of the worst years, for example, 2002 in Arizona and some subsequent years, those have been when there's been a really bad drought and there's been a very weak or thin snowpack. But we've heard from firefighters that we can't get complacent and that we should still expect fires, especially down in the lower elevations. So it's a little bit counterintuitive because people think rain, snow, there won't be fires, but it's just not the case.
What about the Colorado River? We're watching those levels so much now for the CAP. What does this very good year with the snow in the Rockies, how does that going to affect the dams down here on the river? Mm-hmm.
Well, it's definitely good news for the water supply on the Colorado River, most of which comes from the melting snowpack. And so, we've been in the last two decades a very dry period, and Lake Mead and Lake Powell have both declined rather precipitously. And so before this winter, people were talking about a significant chance of there being a shortage declared on the river. That has prompted all of the attention over the last few months and few years on developing these drought contingency plans, which were recently completed. And so now that we've had this really good year for snowpack, it definitely buys the water managers more time. So we're less likely to see a shortage, at least in the near term. But it's important to remember that this is just one year. We have no idea what the weather is going to be like next winter or even, before then this summer. And so as with the wildfire danger, the water managers are happy and encouraged to see this because it's good for bringing up the reservoir levels. But they by no means think that this is a silver bullet, just this one year of a really good snowpack. And so it gives the Colorado River and the reservoirs that are so important to some 40 million people in the Southwest. It gives them more, breathing room in terms of managing the river. But it's important to remember that we're still, feeling the effects of climate change, and something like the increasing temperatures has just as much, if not more, of an impact on the water supply. And so a lot of people think climate change is going to affect precipitation, which it will, but at least in the Colorado River, the research has shown that the declines that we've seen in the river are even more due to the higher temperatures. So there's a higher evaporation rate, the snowpack melts quicker, the plants grow and suck up more moisture. And so, that remains, and one good year for snow is not going to change that. And likewise, the overall situation on the Colorado River, there are way more paper water rights than there is liquid water in the river. And so it remains an oversubscribed river. And one, good year for snowpack doesn't change that. So definitely, I think water managers and the people who are paying attention to the Colorado River were happy to see this good winter as far as the snowpack, but it really doesn't change the overall picture for the Colorado River, which is oversubscribed and which is continuing to feel the effects of climate change.
All right, Mitch Tobin, I'm going to wrap it up with you. Congratulations, being now named the director of the University of Colorado Boulder, this new initiative. You're the director of something called the Water Desk, and congratulations to you. It's always good to check in with you. Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you, Bill.
Mitch Tobin, the Buckmaster Show contributor on the environment, one of 24 regular contributors to the program. All of their bios on my website, buckmastershow.com. It's a place also for all of our podcasts and the live stream of the show. Coming up, Steve Rivera, he's on the couch out in the green room, ready to go. He told me he's got just a thumbs-up show today on the Eye on the Ball. Bob Dio, thank you, Bob. Great job as usual. I am Bill Buckmaster. 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Have a great afternoon and evening.